each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody and welcome. It's good to be back. We were gone.
Yeah.
I was gone.
Welcome back, Father.
I was just gone. I was in a summit, archdiocesan summit, for the, what do they call that, the Archdiocesan Renew My Church Summit for 2 days. So it was interesting. I want to talk a little bit about that eventually, I think. But how are you all doing?
We're okay, Father. It's almost Friday.
Nick is just kind of...
Yeah.
Beautiful day.
We are the most depressing people in the Chicagoland area. I'm convinced of it, but... actually, I'm kind of, it's that time of day, you know, why are we on the radio at noon?
Because it's lunchtime.
Time of day, you know. But today's the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi. And so the very famous, the call that was, that really moved him was, Nicky stubbed his toe.
Oh.
And others. What does that mean?
He did a bunch of toes.
Figure that out. Yeah.
Okay.
Every one of them.
Feel your pain.
But anyway, I got to get into this.
It's connected, Father, because he was called to renew the church.
Exactly.
Right.
So that was the thing.
Rebuild the church.
He was, we have to really think about this and put we can't lose hope. That's the thing, you know, and we just can't. We can't, and there's no reason to, because God is with us, and the Blessed Virgin Mary is with us. I've been really following her call, the different messages, her prophetic messages, for, you know, down through the, especially in the last few centuries, and they're so consistent, but they're just, there's no denying that we're in that time, you know.
And then this is the month of the rosary.
This is the month of the rosary. We're asking everybody, please, 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 to pray the rosary. And with a very specific intention, you know, we have to come before God, come before Our Lady. And I know people, I'm assuming that our listeners are, we're all on the same page. You're Catholics, and so you understand this. And maybe those who may not be Catholic who might be listening might understand. Or if you don't understand, because I lived for so many years in the midst of non-Catholics who really were critical of our devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and you know, as it just, for us, it's a no-brainer, because it's a relationship.
Sure.
She's our mother. She's the mother of the Messiah, the mother of God. Even the, you know, when people take issue with that she's a mother of God, but is Jesus not God?
Yeah, I just don't. It doesn't make sense to me why they would have an issue if God chose it. He chose her and to be His mother and our mother. What is the problem with that? He's God. He's the one in charge.
I think the hard thing is that people sometimes don't, if you're not Catholic,
mm-hmm.
it's a little bit foreign to many non-Catholics, this mm-hmm. devotion we have, not only to the Blessed Virgin Mary, but to the saints, that somehow people think that if we have relationship or devotion, or we venerate, or we pray to the saints or to the Blessed Virgin Mary, that somehow we're taking something away from Christ, that we somehow diminish mm-hmm. the messianic identity of Christ, but it's because God ordained it to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, because we're thinking as humans, like he said, you're thinking as humans, not as God thinks.
Because see, the commonsensical response is, you ask me to pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm certainly not God.
How do you ask me to pray?
Sure,
but I'm an emissary.
Sure.
I'm a disciple. As we all should recognize that we are by virtue of baptism. But you ask me to pray for you. I ask mm-hmm. you to pray for me. I mean, in every conversation I have with anybody, anytime,
mm-hmm.
if it's an email exchange or whatever, you know, it's always, you know, pray for me. I pray for you. I just spoke to a doctor. I mean, it was via email, mm-hmm. but it was mm-hmm. a message from a doctor yesterday who used to come here a lot. And he's from India. And so he now has a practice out in the suburbs, and he lives out there. A young man, a very nice, very very nice guy from India, and we reconnected yesterday. He sent an email. And he says, you know, I wanted to know how I was doing, and mm-hmm. that he's been praying for me. And I said, he's in my mind as well.
Sure.
And I pray for him and his wife. He's got a new wife from India. And it's especially the rosary, you know. So we're talking about this is a month of the rosary, but that prayer is so beautiful because it allows you to do so many things. On one hand, you unite yourself with your mother, the mother of God, the mother of the church. So it's not, you know, as I've said this many times, we're not our point of reference is not a dot on a wall, but it's a living person. The Blessed Virgin Mary isn't frozen in the pages of sacred scripture. So we have this relationship. She's our mother. And so we go to her. And even the Ave Maria, the prayer, comes right out of Scripture. Hail mm-hmm. Mary, full of grace. The words of the angel mm-hmm. as he greeted her. In the Annunciation, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And so we use that, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And then we take the words of St. Elizabeth in the Visitation when Mary went to her cousin right after the Annunciation. And Elizabeth said, well, who am I that the mother of my God should come to me? For the moment your greeting reached my ear, the child within me leapt for joy, referring to St. John the Baptist. Blessed are you among women, and blessed the fruit of your womb. This is the words of the saint. So that prayer comes right out of the Gospel of Luke, and then we added that prayer, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen. So what's wrong with that? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's just if you don't have this idea that it's not only that we can ask each other to pray for each other, you know, we ask mm-hmm. each other to, you know, Christina, pray for me, Tony, pray for me, we pray for Nick, he's got a stubbed toe. But we ask, you know, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the saints, you know, because what do you do? When you have a need, what do? You normally go out to somebody who you know is close to God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you try to, I got to call, or you go to a priest, mm-hmm. Pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
You go to somebody who you know who is religious.
Mm-hmm. Or like the sisters. The sisters
mm-hmm. or anybody.
Anybody,
people,
yeah.
You know, how many people ask you? Because they assume, Christine, you work in the church, that you must be
a
religious person, very close to God.
Yeah.
And you are. And so people ask you,
yes.
you know, to pray.
Or we ask our mothers.
Right.
Our mothers here, our earthly mothers. I'm always asking my mom for prayers. Oh, she, you know, our mothers always pray for their children.
So I said, if we take it from that other perspective, mm-hmm. outside the church, where, you know, the Protestant tradition, or the ecclesial communities, mm-hmm. Who find it really offensive, it's because they, you know, what we profess is that in death, God has prepared a place for us, that where He is, we too will be, and that we're still in communion with those who have died. This is the mystical body of Christ. And so naturally, we have a spiritual bond. We're united spiritually.
Mm-hmm. We're a family.
It's a family. And so, like, today's the Feast of St. Francis, so we ask St. Francis to pray for us, not just today, but some people have a special devotion mm-hmm. to St. Francis. Certain people are drawn to certain saints. Mm-hmm. We have patron saints. My name is Anthony, so St. Anthony of Padua is my patron saint. I don't call on him that much. I should. I did, you know. For a long time I did when I was diagnosed. Isn't that funny? When I was diagnosed with cancer and had surgery and all that, I was, for probably 6 months, I was calling on him every day. And then mm-hmm. somehow I, but I need to, and I think about him, you know. Mm-hmm. But so some people are drawn to certain saints. Padre Pio is a very popular saint in the Universal Church. Yeah. Saint Therese of Lisieux, whose feast day was yesterday. It was yesterday, I think.
That was on the 2nd.
2nd, that's right. Mm-hmm. So she's very universally
very
popular.
St. Faustina's coming tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
St. Faustina Kowalska. Many people have a strong devotion to her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but the point is that these are our, like we were talking about the angels the other day, you know, mm-hmm. the saints are...
Well, even our angels, our guardian angel, they intercede for us too.
It just makes sense. Yeah. It's part of the...
And Father, what I don't get too is, you know how the Protestants, well, you know, they say, love Jesus, of course. He's God. How can you say you love Jesus and not love His mother?
Well, you know, they would say, I think, and again, I don't want to, but I mean, generally speaking, I know, you know, for a fact that most, because many people come over to the Catholic Church, that's where they have a problem. They say, I just can't, because they were taught not to pray to the Blessed Virgin Mary mm-hmm. or to the saints. So it's kind of ingrained in them. But then when you begin to explain it to them, it says, okay, well, this makes sense. In sure. fact, it opens them up to the mystical mm-hmm. reality, the yeah. mystical body
yes.
of Christ. But the...
Even the fact of that we have images and pictures that people have, it's like, well, we have pictures of our loved ones, our parents, our grandparents, people that have passed on. Doesn't mean that we're worshiping them. It's that we remember them and we love them, and there's that bond, that connection.
So I think that's what it is, the focus. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, yeah. it's always, you don't worship the picture, you don't worship, mm-hmm. but it's the focus. It like you said, you don't think of your patron saint, but then, you know, you see a picture and it's okay, it draws you in.
Sure.
And I like that. I like that thought.
Yeah, it's you go into the church and you've got the, you know, it's a reminder that it's just that we're part of this
family,
you know. When I went to Italy during my sabbatical, I went to the shrine of Saint Anthony mm-hmm. Of Padua. It's in Padua, yeah. near Venice, and I went there to make a 3-day retreat. And it was really a very moving mm-hmm. experience. What was really moving about the whole experience was, first of all, it was a beautiful shrine, and but I was just, what became a deeply moving, prayerful experience was being in the shrine and watching the people, mm-hmm. because in Italy they have a very strong devotion to St. Anthony mm-hmm. of Padua. In fact, you find him in almost every church. Yeah. Wow. A statue of, I tell you, the three that they have, three most popular saints in Italy, I think, is St. Anthony of Padua, St. Padre Pio, and St. Therese.
Oh, St. Therese.
Uh-huh.
Not even St. Francis of Assisi.
I would say, you know, St. Anthony more than St. Francis.
Wow. And St. Anthony, he wasn't even Italian, he was Portuguese
right.
which for many years I thought he was Italian
right.
until we went to Portugal and
right.
to the church where he was baptized.
Exactly. But the shrine, what impressed me was the devotion of the people. Mm-hmm. And so I was kneeling there and I was watching the people as they were coming. They're just lines of people. They just come. Wow. And you could feel the deep, mm-hmm. deep attachment, the deep mm-hmm. devotion, the deep needs mm-hmm. that they had as they pressed their hand up against his coffin or the crypt mm-hmm. where he was buried. It was absolutely a moving experience. But the saints are... This is good news. The good news of the gospel. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be." And so, the saints are those who have been, you know, scrupulously studied after their death. They studied their lives, and they have in the church what they call the devil's advocate, who tries to disprove that these are indeed saints, because they want to, without any doubt. In fact, there has to be certain miracles that happen. I think three miracles that happen through their intercession, you know. And it's really the an act of faith. It's a witness to the truth of what Jesus said, that where I go, you will be. I go to prepare a place for you. And if we live in God's friendship and the grace of God. So, you know, it just makes it, what more can you say? And except that you have experience of this, you know? Mm-hmm. This is like with the Blessed Virgin Mary. I'm following these messages because I think we're all grappling with the times we live in, the deep divide in the nation, the deep divide in the church, the corruption, the scandals. I mean, who ever thought that we would be openly speaking about corruption? You know, usually that comes from anti-Catholics or whatever. But because there's always corruption to a certain extent. There's always corruption. There's always scandal. Jesus says you're never going to avoid the scandal. It's always going to be there, and that's right from the words of Christ, right from His lips, His mouth. But that we would, as a body, speak about the church's corruption, the scandals, universal, worldwide. I was reading an article this morning. I just kind of skimmed through it. That this is probably the greatest crisis for the church since the Reformation. And I think it's true, but I think it's a moment of great grace. But we have to be very honest about what's happening mm-hmm. and what our response is going to be to this crisis. So to go back to St. Francis of Assisi, you know, he was just a carefree kind of a guy, young.
Didn't he come from a rich family?
Came from a wealthy family.
Yeah,
his father was a merchant. I think he.
Something with the clothing.
The clothing with material or whatever. Yeah. And so he was well-to-do. Mm-hmm. He was wealthy. I don't know if it was rich, but they had wealth.
Well off.
I guess it would be rich in those days. Yeah, they would be considered rich, absolutely. But he was like most
young
teenagers. Or young I don't know how old he was, if he was a late teen or if he was in his early 20s, but I think he was a teenager, mm-hmm. late teens. Just kind of carefree and really didn't have any, you know, sense of any real religiosity. Mm-hmm. He went through the motions like many mm-hmm. people do, and he happened to be in the church of, was it San Damiano?
San Damiano.
In Assisi with his family in prayer. And from the crucifix, Jesus spoke to him. And he says, Francis, rebuild my church. And Francis, it was a very moving experience and life-changing, I mean, in a radical way. And so he looked out down into the valley. There was the church of St. Mary the Angels. It was a chapel. Well, that's what they call it now, St. Mary the Angels. But I don't know if that was, they built it over the church that he went to rebuild. So there was a dilapidated church down in the valley. You know, Assisi's built on a, as all those old medieval towns were, on a hill. So he went down there, and the place was dilapidated, so he got his friends, and they began to rebuild the church. And Jesus says, no, Francis, that's not what I mean. I want you to rebuild the church. There's corruption. There's need for reform. There's need for faith, you know? And so he set out. He literally, when the young man went to the Lord and said, good teacher, what do I do to inherit life everlasting? And Jesus says, why do you call me good? Only one is good, that your Father in heaven. But have you kept the commandments? And the young man said, yes, I have. He said, now, good, that's great. Go sell all you have, give to the poor, come and follow me. Francis literally responded to that call and gave up everything and lived a very, very poor life. But when you think about the time in which he lived, there was some unrest, obviously, because he drew thousands of young men and women. You know, God working through him inspired St. Clair, and they started he started what's now called the Franciscans, and she, the poor Clares, both her bodies are in Assisi. But they set out to renew the church. But there was a need for this because people responded everywhere. And that's the beauty. And this is we have to remember that in this time that God is calling us. He's going to raise us up. I just wrote a Facebook message this morning because the reading from the day is Jesus sending out the 72 disciples. And he said, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. And I said, the message to the Facebook is, the people on the Facebook, is that with these words in mind, and I'm asking you, actually via the radio as well, you know, to join us in a renewed zeal to fulfill the call of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that we keep the doors of St. Stanislaus Kostka open for the purpose of merciful healing and an encounter with the Lord and with His Mother, an encounter that moves us to a deeper sense that we must not be on the sidelines. I know I've said that many times, but I mean this with a great urgency. We've got to get into the story. They're calling us, and I'm calling you as well into this unfolding drama of God's action in the world today. You know, and I'm asking, you know, all of you now, that let this sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, regardless of where you may be, but let it be a place of reference for the challenges we face together. You know, we're all suffering the crisis of our day. It may feel like something very personal. It could be a health issue, issues in the family, you know, something very personal to who you are. Or it may be that you're really suffering with and for the church, those who are really attuned to what's going on in the church. I said, really, we're talking about a major, you know, scandals and corruption at the highest levels of the church. Or it may be that we fear for the nation. A lot of people are very fearful for the nation. The point is, you're not alone. That's why I'm here with you at this time. We're here with you. You're not alone. And since we're in the month of October, but not just now, I'm just let this be mm-hmm. The beginning of a commitment that we pray the rosary, that the rosary be the chain that binds us tightly together for the cause of Our Lady to bring us into the mission of her Son. And so this call is going out to you from this sanctuary of the Divine Mercy here at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish in the heart of Chicago through the airwaves of the Winds of Change. I want you to really make it a place from where you move into action, because I think that's what we're going to start talking about is what can we do? What must we do? So this is in keeping with the gospel today. The harvest is abundant, the labors are few. Ask the master of the harvest to send out labors for his harvest. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to go back to the rosary. And why, with great urgency, we need to pray the rosary daily. If we're not, we've got to begin to do it. We've got to do it. There's always, you have the choice, the freedom, but there's an obligation, a responsibility that's being imposed on us to recognize or to read the signs of the times and to pick up that chain that binds us to God and binds us to each other and is the weapon, the strength, that will get us or see us through this time of crisis or the whole of our life journey until we're finally with the saints and with the Blessed Virgin Mary, together with our ancestors, those who kept the faith, and we're all centered in the eternal contemplation of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we have to pick up that rosary, and we have to pray it. When we come back, I'll tell you why, all right? So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change. On AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Please join in praying a rosary for our nation by joining in Rosary Coast to Coast, Sunday, October 7th at 3 p.m. at the Access Health Center, 1700 75th Street in Downers Grove, Illinois. For more information, see rosarycoasttocoast.com. On Saturday night, October 6th, from 7 until 9, at St. Stanislaus Kostka, Father Angel Espinoza will give a special talk on the urgent need to train your children in the seven fields of true education. The talk will be in Spanish. Here's Cristina to tell you more.
El sábado 6 de octubre de 2018, en las 7 de la tarde a las 9 de la noche, la parroquia de San Stanislaus Kostka y el Padre Ángel Espinoza los invitan a una conferencia sobre cómo les estamos enseñando a nuestros hijos la fe. ¿Estamos enseñando la fe popular y nada más por encima? ¿O realmente estamos enseñándoles a vivir la fe de una manera profunda, a practicarla diariamente en su vida? Regístrate y compra tu boleto de $30 en la página del web www.ststanschurch.org. El cupo es limitado, solo se venderán 5 boletos por persona. Para más información, favor de llamar a la parroquia al 773-278-2470, de nuevo 773-278-2470. De nuevo el sábado 6 de octubre del 2018, de las 7 de la tarde a las 9 de la noche, en la iglesia de San Estanislao Kostka, ubicada al 1327 Norte de la Noble en Chicago. Los esperamos.
For complete information and ticket purchase information, go to ststanschurch.org and click on the events tab.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. So I say, you know, we've got to pray the rosary. There's an urgency to this. I can't believe that I feel so strongly about this now, because mm-hmm. I think for the first time in my life, I understand. There's a lot of things that I'm mm-hmm. beginning to understand. And I certainly don't consider myself a fanatic, and I don't consider myself out there. I try to weigh things, you know.
Right.
But what's interesting to me is that I'm reading article after article, and it's coming from all over the world. People know something is terribly, terribly, drastically, dangerously wrong, and there's this response that I've never experienced. And to be honest, you know, even and I think I mentioned this the other day, but this reference to the demonic, to the devil, to the question as to whether or not we're in the latter time, I think this is a healthy thing. It's not about, again, you can't say the day or the hour, but Jesus says you got to read the signs of the times. And God's concept of time is not our concept of time. So we could go on for another 5,000 years, or we could go on for another 500 years, or we could go on for another 200, or we could go on for another 2 decades, or, you know, who knows? But the winds have changed. You know, that's a fact. The winds have changed. And this morning, I've been following, and I've shared with you some of the, and I'm kind of scattered today too, because I had my holy hour this morning, and then I was in meetings, you know, through the morning, so I had to come down here. I'm always moving from something to something, right? But when I was praying this morning, and I pray the rosary, and I was really from the depths of my soul, not in a frightening kind of a way, but in a hopeful way, asking Our Lady and Jesus, because when I pray, you know, if it's to the Blessed Virgin or to Jesus, I see them both, you know. I keep them both before me. But asking that the hand of God be withheld, that we be delivered from the vengeance. Now, people will immediately react to that if I speak about God's vengeance or God's punishment or God's chastisement. But I believe it. And I think we would be doing people a disservice if we just assume that all that is antiquated teaching, or that it's, or we just pick and choose what we want to read in Scripture. This is a theme that runs through the whole of Sacred Scripture. Even at the summit, somebody said something about, you know, God would never send a flood again. Well, maybe it won't be a flood, maybe, but the fire
something
from
else.
Heaven or something, you know.
Right.
More than anything, is that God leaves us to our own design. He says, "Okay, so this is what you refuse me." Remember when Jesus? I was always moved by this when Jesus was in his final journey to Jerusalem, and when he came over the hill It might have been at the Mount of Olivet. I don't know, but he came over the hill. So this is Jerusalem is built. It's kind of you don't see it until you come over a hill, and then you have to go down and then and back up. And when he came over the hill, the gospel said that he fell to the ground and he wept. And he wept. And he said, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how like a mother hen I tried to bring you under my wings, but you refused me. And it'll be to your own destruction. There's nothing new under the sun. Jesus, in the crucifixion, his suffering and death, he was suffered the sweat of blood in Gethsemane. He was arrested. He was put on trial. He was scourged, blasphemed, mocked, crowned with thorns, stripped naked, carried his own cross, was crucified on that cross, and from that he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. From that cross he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? From that cross he said, into your hands I commend my spirit. From that cross he said, I thirst. As Mother Teresa would say, it was his thirst for souls. I thirst for you. I've laid down my life. What more can I do? I've taken love to the extreme. What more can I do? And he died, and he took our sins to himself. He died, and he rose from the dead. And he says, what? Fear not. You have nothing to fear. Be at peace. But you got to stay with me. You got to stay with me. You've got to live to do my will. You got to come down this narrow path, the way of the cross. And if we refuse him, in keeping with the whole biblical story, we know that God, when I use the word vengeance, you can use that word, vengeance. It's certainly in the scripture. They'll say, well, this is all Old Testament. Well, it's not just Old Testament. It's certainly, you know, we get into the book of Revelation, or even you follow through the epistles, and let's call it the dark side, but the dark side is our dark side, right? And how does God respond to our dark side? When we choose, this is the gospel, God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world. The light came into the darkness, but the people chose the dark. They wouldn't come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. If we choose darkness, if we lean into the dark, you know, there are consequences. And the consequences, it's not that we're just being disobedient, that we're not following the law written into our own hearts, but that we're, in doing that, that disobedience has consequences in an adverse way to the people around us and to the future. And so God is, yes, of course, as Scripture said, he's a merciful, patient, slow to anger kind of a God. And he'll, you know, as the Scripture says, you know, who can we send? Who's going to go for us? You know, who will be the emissaries? Who are going to be who will be the sacrament that's mediating the grace that brings God into the world? You know, it's or the gospel today, the harvest is plenty. I know there's just a lot of work to do, but the labors are few. So ask the master to send laborers into the harvest. That's what I'm asking you. Because the Blessed Virgin Mary is if you follow her messages, and these are Vatican-approved messages, church-approved messages, nobody's required to believe it because it doesn't tell us anything new, which is kind of surprising that people would reject this idea that God would chastise or that God would punish when, you know, even the church says, you know, you don't have to believe the message, but it's accepted because it is not in contradiction to what is written in sacred scripture. And the point is that if we are loving children of God and we have a responsibility to each other, as Jesus said in the gospel, was it last week or this week it's coming up, you know, let the children come to me because to them belongs the kingdom of God. That's this week, this coming week. Last week it was anybody who leads the innocent astray, better that a millstone be put around their neck than be thrown in the sea and drowned. In other words, for love of the people, for love of our future, for the desire of our salvation, like any parent who sees a child, you see your children acting in a way that is destructive to them and to each other, you're going to step in and do something, right? If you're, yes, if you're truly a loving parent, you're going to do something. You know, you're going to chastise or punish, discipline. St. Paul speaks about that. He says, you know, who, how does it, you know, when a discipline or chastisement is conferred as children, as if we're being punished by our parents, at the time it's cause for sorrow. But later we thank them because it was through that that they saved us, right? And so the Blessed Virgin Mary has been telling us that, you know, let's just go back to Fatima. But in all these apparitions, that the world is going in the wrong direction. And there, because the feast day is next week, actually, on the 13th, the feast of the miracle of the sun. The feast of the rosary is on Sunday. Sunday. But she said, you know, she gave us, she said, listen, you're going in a bad way, and you got to pray for conversion. You got to pray for a metanoia, a change of heart, that there be peace. There will be no peace. Without God, there's no peace. And she said, if you don't pray, and prayer moves us into action, so it's not just, you know, that we pray, but prayer moves us into action. Mm-hmm. But prayer is an action. So people can do nothing else. Well, pray. You know, obey the commandments, live a decent, good life, take care of each other, and pray. But she says, pray the rosary. She said, pray the rosary. So she gave us something very specific. Here, I'm giving you a, you know, do this. Pray the rosary. Pray for conversion. Pray for peace. And if you don't do this, she said, Russia will spread her errors. And Russia at the time was, and these children didn't know. They thought Russia was a woman. You know, they thought it was a woman. This was in Portugal. It was just appeared to those three children. They didn't know anything about Russia or what was going on in the world. This was just right on the heel of the Bolshevik Revolution. It gave way to systemic atheism, communism. And she said Russia would spread her errors, and that's what happened, you know, through the world. And she said there will be a greater war if people don't pray. And then a greater war, and then there will be the annihilation of nations and all this. You know, those were some of the things that she said. But I've got here the words of Lucy dos Santos, no, was the oldest, who lived up until 2005. She died a very old woman. The other two children, her cousins, Jacinto and Francisco, Francisco. Mm-hmm. They asked Our Lady, you know, when they would die, and she said, "You will die shortly." And they did. They died just within a year or two after mm-hmm. the apparitions. But Lucia, what is it in Portuguese? Lucia dos Santos. She became a nun, a cloistered nun, a Carmelite, I think, or whatever. She was a Carmelite. But she, Our Lady, I think it was in July, told her these things that would happen, but that she would continue to share with Lucia, as the years went by. Yeah, but she gave all this. But the thing is, everything she said has happened mm-hmm. and is happening. Mm-hmm. She said there will be cardinal against cardinal, mm-hmm. bishop against bishop. The priest will, just as in La Salette, their lives will become perverted, as in Quito, Ecuador. She said, I shared that with you the other day. She said that the family. She said the last assault of the devil will be an assault on marriage and family. She said, and this is in mm-hmm. all these apparitions. See, the thing is, the institution, the sacred institution of marriage and family, and the sacred institution of the holy priesthood mm-hmm. are necessary, absolutely necessary, for the civil and religious well-being of the people. And so, as Jesus said, you strike the shepherd and the sheep scatter. So we let the guard down, Satan will infiltrate. And see, for so many years we didn't talk about the devil. This is what I find so fascinating today, is that I'm reading everywhere. In fact, they've reinstated the St. Michael prayer. Coming from the top down, from the Pope, who's caught up in all this too, and the bishops, they've reinstated the St. Michael prayer and the Memorare, or the prayer to Our Lady. I've mm-hmm. chosen here the Salve Regina. Mm-hmm. I like it better. So either one, but I just like that mm-hmm. prayer. But, you know, the fact that we're, you know, speaking about the devil, when before, if you did that, you were criticized to no end. I've been around, you know, I'm not a young priest. I have seen, you know, you couldn't speak about these things.
Yeah.
You were forbidden to speak about these things because what? Jesus is risen from the dead, and, you know, we're in the victory already. Well, no, we're the victory has been not fully, it's come, but it's not fully realized. We're in the battle. And now, because the church has been, in essence, been caught, you know, everything's being exposed. It's like, okay, we got to do something about this. You know, we better call on St. Michael. Yeah. And we better, you know, take very seriously the message of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Anyway, we've got to take a break, and we'll be right back. But it's just interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK 3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK 3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststandschicago.org. That's ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So what I'm saying is we've got to pray the rosary with urgency. This is an urgent call. I said this morning I was praying this. I have a holy hour in the morning, like a formal sure. holy hour, and I pray the rosary during that time. But I just feel this, like this spirit kind of moving through my soul, and for the first time, even though I've prayed, I always pray for sure. conversion, for peace, because it's. But it's like something has come alive mm-hmm. in me with regards to this, the urgency of this call, and that it's like as if heaven needs to hear that we really want to see, a divine intervention, mm-hmm. not by way of chastisement, but that we are before God saying, Lord, I really want to hold nothing back in giving myself to you and to labor all the days of my life for the glory of your name and for the salvation of your people. People are lost. There's no denying that unless we become so desensitized. But I was speaking, the readings coming up this Sunday have to do with marriage and creation. God created a man and woman, and from man and woman comes what? Children. They're by God's design, they form a union, a covenant, and a physical union that in this union, children are born, conceived and born, for the building up of God's kingdom. And in the gospel, Jesus said, don't let neither man nor woman divide what God has joined, mm-hmm. man and woman, man and woman. And this is, when Our Lady says the final assault, the last assault of the devil will be on marriage and family. And if we can't see that, then we have really put our head in the sand. Now, the problem is, and because Our Lady said as well, you got to pray for the Pope, pray for the Holy Father, pray for the bishops, pray for the priests. Again, strike them, the sheep scatter. This isn't what I'm about to say, and I hope I can get it all in, but it's not that I'm not here to besmirch the Holy Father or anything, but we have to pray for him because there's a great deception that's taking place. And we as Catholics, we're not mm-hmm. fanatics. We're not, we're just trying to be faithful to Christ and the teachings of the church. But this cardinal this Dutch cardinal has said that that Pope Francis, his failure to uphold the Church's authentic faith makes him think of the Catechism of the Catholic Church's prophecy of a final trial for the Church before the second coming of Christ. Now, this is coming from a cardinal, one of many. And he said that the problem is the Holy Father, and this is well known, he fails to create clarity. And so great confusion is created among the faithful, and the unity of the Church is endangered. So this cardinal says, observing that the bishops and above all the successor of Peter failed to maintain and transmit faithfully and in unity the deposit of faith contained in sacred scripture and sacred tradition, he says, I can't help but think of Article 675 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which says that warns of a trial that will shake the faith of many believers. It prophesies a persecution that will unveil the mystery of iniquity in the form of a religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. It's kind of this, we got to accommodate. You know, so we hear, you know, often we have to accompany. Well, absolutely. But not accommodate or compromise the faith. We've got to call each other to a higher standard. I was in the letter that I wrote for Sunday, and I, you know, speaking of marriage and family, I said, can any of us really, can any of us, just ask yourself, can we honestly argue that the contraceptive culture of our day, which is reeling in pornography, the hookup dating scene, the money-charged industry of abortion, can anybody say this has not reduced women, and men as well, to mere objects for the pleasure of one another? I mean, the whole sexual revolution of the 1960s radically lifted nearly all boundaries to the discipline and proper use of sexuality, which wreaks havoc on psychosexual maturity and has been an assault to the sacred covenant of marriage and family, and I would say a sacred, an assault to the sacred covenant or consecration, priestly consecration. And this is the bedrock of a healthy society. And we've all been affected by this breach with divine law. Now I understand more and more when Our Lady said, she talked about purity, you know, that the, you know, what was this? The Beatitudes say those who are pure of heart will see the face of God. Well, the purity of heart also is related to purity of the body. We're all imperfect and we fall, but to lose that sensitivity and to celebrate, you know, the free reign of the flesh. We're out of time, but we'll come back to this tomorrow. But I'm saying, people, the urgency, we absolutely must respond to her call to pray the rosary, because it doesn't look good if we're not, you know, sincerely before the Lord, say, Lord, I stand, you know, here asking you, we can beg you, please, you know, use us, move us into this mission. We'll come back to this tomorrow, you know, the necessity of prayer and why. If it's a move, if moving into action is just simply praying the rosary and living a good life and being merciful, compassionate, and obey the command, well, then that's what you got to do. But we've got to pray. For some reason, we can talk about it tomorrow. God is asking, Our Lady is asking, we've got to pray. We've got to pray. The future depends on our prayer. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is wrought. It's time to be stirred. The time